Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
I don't think, personally, there's enough of straight-ahead guitar rock right now. I think there's a lot of toy keyboard rock, and I want straight-ahead guitar rock.
All right, so we're hanging out here at... Oh, wow.
We really got a horn.
We better move out of the street. We're hanging out here at Woodmore Stock in Silver Spring, Maryland. There are many bands playing. There are many people, many dogs.
Many dogs.
Many beers.
Many beers.
Many tacos. All sorts of things happening here at Woodmore Stock. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we have here, this is very exciting, because I've been listening to music this week quite a bit.
Me
and
too.
It's really good. The Heavy Editors.
Yes.
Introduce yourselves, Heavy Editors.
Yeah, we're super psyched to be here. Thank you so much for having us. So I live here in the neighborhood in Woodmore Stock, so this is like my home festival. I love that. And we practice here at Johnstown in D.C. and Wally's in Silver Spring as well. Yeah, we've been playing about 8 years. I'm Joe Valina. I'm the guitar player and one of the singers. And
I'm John Raposa. I'm the bass player and a singer as well.
And I'm Wally. I'm the drummer, but I don't sing.
Yet.
All right, so tell our listeners about the Heavy Editors.
Sure.
What do you do?
Yeah, we are we're a three-piece bass, drums, guitar, and we are a loud, heavy guitar band. All original music for the most part. We have some covers that are kind of keep it at the deep cut level, but we've been playing for around eight years. We put an album out in 2019, The City at Night. You can find it on Spotify. You can find it all over the internet. And then we've got a couple of newer singles that have come out that you can also find on Spotify and on our website, theheavyeditors.com. We're psyched to be here.
Great.
Would you describe your sound as power pop?
So other people have definitely described us as power pop.
I'm one of those people, yeah.
You are not alone. We don't describe ourselves that way, but I think we may be wrong because everybody keeps saying that. So
you don't like it? No, he's shaking his head. What?
I love the rock.
Okay. Yeah, I think we kind of go for, what we're going for is 90s style alternative guitar rock, right?
Okay.
Like that's what we kind of go for, but... But yeah, like I say, you're not the first people to lay that on us, so we'll take it.
Is that your background? Is that the music that you have, you know, really connected with over the years?
We're all different, and I'm the oldest one in the band, so I go back to, I actually played, starting when I was about 14 years old, and I'm 64, and so I've toured with different bands. I played with some really greats. I played with Bo Diddley for a while. I played with a number of other folks, and so I've had a lot of experience playing punk rock. I played in cover bands, but this band is sort of the genesis of all of our experiences, which is really wonderful because after 8 years, if you're getting along well enough to do 8 years of work together, that's magic in this business, you know, no matter how old you are. And so that's my thing. I pass it over to John here.
So I've been playing bass for over 35 years.
Wow.
Went to school for music when I was a wee kid, but a lot of my influence, I mean, we don't have the time for me to go through all that, but like Beatles to Minutemen Firehose to jazz to whatever, you know, whatever floats my boat at the time. I've played with, I'm from Massachusetts originally, I played with a lot of bands up there, folk singers. I played bass in the Pit for Jesus Christ Superstar with
really?
Gary Cherone as Judas. Gary Cherone from Extreme.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. And moved here to D.C., played with some great bands, but, I mean, it's like we just have, like Wally said, it's been just such a great genesis for the three of us. I mean, we have a lot of common interests, and we have some that are not. Joe's into hair bands. I'm not a hair band guy, but you know.
I was into hair. Let's say was at 18. Yeah.
You know, but it's like, we're not just great cohesive bandmates. We're really great friends too. So it's like, it's worked out really well.
How did you guys meet and start playing in the band?
Yeah, so I had a band about 10 years ago that was looking for somebody to open for us at the Velvet Lounge. And so I literally Googled, well, I don't know if it was Google at the time, but I Googled, you know, rock band, original rock band DC, and John's old band popped up. Huh. So I contacted him on MySpace. That's how long ago this was. MySpace, right? So they opened for us, and we just kind of like connected. Years later, when both of us had kind of moved on to different projects, got together, and we had another guy who was actually in the band at the time to start Heavy Editors. I'm in book publishing. This guy was in book publishing. That's where Heavy Editors comes
from.
Got
it.
Right?
Got it.
So that's how we met. And then Wally came on board a little bit later through some mutual connections. And, you know, the first, you know, snare hit was, we could tell this was, you know, going to make
the
it the long term. Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that when you know it right from the beginning.
But,
yeah.
I think one of the things that makes us a little unique is that John comes with fully formed songs. I come with fully formed songs. Wally puts his spin on it. Our types of songs are different from each other, but they both fit in that overarching genre. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good. It kind of keeps it fresh from song to song.
Yeah. I will say this, I play in a trio as well, and there's something about not having another guitar or not having another instrument like a keyboard or another percussionist or something to cover for you that makes you, you know, really, really listen to the other two players in the band. And I love that little space when you all meet, when you're all doing your part, but it all comes together. Do you guys know that feeling that kind of talking about?
Oh yeah, I mean when it locks in, it's the best feeling ever.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's something about that you don't get with other bands.
And this rhythm section is phenomenal. You'll see later today. If for anyone, we play at 5, but
you've probably already played by the time someone's heard this podcast.
Somebody's coming down the street here, so they might hear me.
That's true. We do have our live speaker going. Yeah.
So how much recording have you guys done?
We mentioned we had an album that we recorded in 2016.
Yep. 19.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
We've been talking about perhaps doing a second one. We have a lot of material that that both these guys have written that would easily fit into another album. So that's this particular project's recording, but...
Yeah, and we've got two new singles that we released in the last year or so that are also up there as well. Basically we were trying to make sure that we had some product out there that was newer than our album, so when we played out, you know, people could go and check it out. But like Wally said, I think we're on the way to the second full length at some point soon.
Very cool. So do you write songs on guitar and then play them on the bass, or do you write songs on the bass?
Yes.
Both.
I do both.
Okay.
So, I mean, most of my current songs have been written on the guitar.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, a lot of the earlier songs, City at Night, I wrote that on the bass.
Oh, nice.
I mean, whatever happens. I mean, there's a new song of ours called Pain on the Neck, which I wrote on bass as well, you know, so weird time signatures and all. I can do more weird time signature songs on bass, so.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you did mention Mike Watt, so you definitely probably have an idea about that kind of angularity,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, I mean, transcribing all those Minutemen albums when I was younger, it was just like.
Is that something you actually did?
A lot of them, yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, I transcribed a lot of the songs off of Double Nickels on the Dime and most of the Fire Hose albums. So,
and that's one I will say that, you know, John and I are pretty similar in a lot of the things we listen to. Some he likes the Who. I'm not a huge Who fan, but one album in particular that was the nexus for us really connecting was the Fire Hose Live Totem Pole EP.
Oh wow!
And if anybody has not heard the Live Totem Pole EP, stop this podcast and go listen to that. It introduced me to Superchunk, and introduced me to like the deep cuts of the Oyster Cult. We sometimes play the Public Enemy song on there.
Oh,
I mean, that
right?
album
wow.
was amazing, and it's one of the things that's a real kind of common connection for all of us.
That's amazing. That's a great piece of music. It really is. Yeah, totally, totally incredible.
Yes,
and that's interesting too. What is that connection point in between band members of album wise, right? That's really interesting. Yeah. Now you mentioned you come in with fully formed songs. Does that include the lyrics and the title of the song as well?
Yeah, normally.
Okay.
We have like one or two songs that we've kind of like collectively mashed together. But I will say it's not like, you know, if John comes in with a song, I put my own guitar part like within the framework of what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I think vice versa, like especially, I mean, I don't write bass lines, right? And so what ends up happening is that the two of us and then Wally will come in with like the rhythm changes that bring it to life, right? Like, but what we don't do is kind of just come in with a riff and work from there, because frankly it takes 1,000 years and you have like one song in 2 years, right?
Right. So right.
We do that occasionally. That's how Heavy came about, right? So I mean, we have an early song of ours was called Heavy, which we all wrote together, you know. I mean, Joe had the hook and everything. I came up with the B section and I wrote the little tiny bit of lyrics on there.
Nice.
I
appreciate the melodic role that the bass plays in your guys' music. That's one of the things I really love.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
So you mentioned the live Totem EP and what that meant to you guys. What would listeners gain from your live EP?
Well, you know, I think the main thing is we definitely are straight-ahead guitar rock, and I don't think, personally, there's enough of straight-ahead guitar rock right now. I think there's a lot of toy keyboard rock, and I want straight-ahead guitar rock. And so that's where we come in on the spectrum, I think.
It's lively recorded. We record, you know, live instruments. We don't use effects. We don't use, you know, we we generally want to have our natural, you know, performance and our, you know, vocal performance. And so I think that that's something that that distinguishes what we do in recording and how we approach music. We really, we enjoy that about each other. We enjoy listening and we have fun with that too.
That's extremely important, that that last part of it, yeah, because how often do you guys play live?
Probably once a month-ish.
Oh, okay.
Maybe once every 2 months.
Yep.
You know, I'll be honest with you, our favorite gigs are Porch Fest gigs.
Nice.
They're fantastic. People are always having a good time. You know, the only downside, sometimes it rains. Today is the most beautiful day we've ever played. Normally, the heavy editors curses every Porch Fest, but in terms of weather. But yeah, it's fantastic because you have people coming through that would never have heard your music before, and the vibe is just fantastic. You know, sometimes we play downtown. Usually, we do support for other bands that are playing downtown, which is, you know, it's fine with what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
But this is our bread and butter. We love this type of gig.
That's great.
That's
really
great.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, the heavy editors, and we're and people can hear you everywhere, right? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, Spotify, Bandcamp are probably the two main areas. And, of course, if you go to theheavyeditors.com, you'll be able to link out to all of those things. Or, I mean, look, it's just Google search it, right?
Yeah. And
so,
we're big advocates of Bandcamp on this podcast because they actually do give you a little something.
Absolutely.
And they're very good to their artists. Yeah. So that's what we try to push, yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks, guys.
I can't wait to see you guys play.
To the podcast, listeners, check them out. You're really going to like this band.
This is right up your alley, peoples.
All right, I can tell you. So before you go, we like to ask a question pulled from the random bag of questions.
The bag of questions.
Okay. So I'll just ask this one question that I pulled randomly. You can each answer it individually, okay? Your question is, what was the greatest decade for pop music?
Oh.
Popular music.
The 1990s, obviously. All right. I'm Gen X.
For me, I'd say it was the 70s.
Okay.
For, you know, good rock bands.
And I'd go back to the 60s.
Wow. All right. There we go.
AM radio was we were centralized. We were all listening to it. The Beatles, the Stones. I mean, it was a great time. But to tell you the truth, it's all good. You know, art is beautiful. It's no matter when you do it. And as Joe said, these Porch Fests is a revolution in public experience in music. So right now is the time also
right?
to say.
That's right. Right.
Yeah.
Right now. There we go.
And, you know, I just want to say the 70s wasn't just good rock music. It was also the beginning of punk.
That's right.
So
yep. A lot of things.
Ramones started then. The Clash started then, you know.
Disco, hip-hop, all kinds of things.
So once again, I think we see the way you guys have maybe start from a little different perspective, but it all comes together in your band, right?
Beautiful.
And you can hear all of that there. That's awesome. Okay. Thank you very much, the Heavy Editor.
Heavy Editors.
Guys, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you later.
I love The Rock.